Qantas cancels orders for 35 Dreamliners. Machinist at Hawker Beechcraft voting on a new contract. And Curiosity is now rolling at Bradbury Landing. This is Aero News for Friday, August 24th, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. Qantas has scrapped plans to buy 35 Boeing 787 Dreamliners after posting its first annual loss in over 17 years. The order was worth $8.5 billion on Boeing's order book. Qantas said that rising fuel costs, ongoing labor disputes, and more international competition led to the decision. Qantas reportedly lost $258 million for the fiscal year that ended June 30th, that according to Bloomberg Businessweek. Canceling the Dreamliner order actually pushed Qantas stock higher on the Sydney Stock Exchange. It seems that canceling the airplanes eased concerns about the company's bottom line. Not that it means there will be no Dreamliners flying in Australia. Jetstar, a Qantas subsidiary, plans to take delivery of the first of 15 787-8 airliners that it has on order next year. Boeing reportedly owes the airline more than $300 million in penalties because of delivery delays. The Daily Herald of Everett, Washington reports that Boeing said in a statement that Qantas remains, quote, a long-standing and valued customer, end quote, and that, quoting again, we stand ready to serve them with 787-9s to meet their long-haul fleet needs into the future. The airline has retained purchase rights to 50 787-9s, according to Boeing. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers are to vote today on a new contract with Hawker Beechcraft. Reuters reports that union leadership is supporting the proposed contract, which would freeze the company's defined benefit pension plan at current levels as of December 31st. The union said in a statement that after that date, the company would add deferred contribution retirement payments to the 401k plan that it already has in place. There would be no other changes in the union contract. Even if the membership approves the plan, it would still require the blessing of the bankruptcy judge who is overseeing HBC's reorganization. The company is in exclusive negotiations with a Chinese aviation concern, which hopes to buy the company's civilian operations for $1.79 billion. The vote by the union is a simple yes or no vote. NASA's Mars rover Curiosity has begun driving from its landing site, which scientists announced they have named for the late author Ray Bradbury. Making its first movement on the Martian surface, Curiosity's drive combined forward, turn, and reverse segments. This placed the rover about 20 feet away from the spot where it landed some 16 days ago. NASA has approved the Curiosity science team's choice to name the landing ground for the influential author who was born 92 years ago Thursday and died earlier this year. The location where Curiosity touched down is now called Bradbury Landing. The drive confirmed the health of Curiosity's mobility system and produced the rover's first wheel tracks on Mars, documented in images taken after the drive. Curiosity's mission will use 10 science instruments on the rover to assess whether the area has ever offered environmental conditions favorable for microbial life. Divers have discovered the wreckage of a Vought A7C Corsair II, which was involved in a mid-air collision during a training mission back in 1974. The pilot of the airplane, Bob Beasel, ejected safely from the stricken aircraft after he collided with one flown by his commanding officer, but the plane was lost. The other aircraft made it safely back to Cecil Field near Jacksonville, Florida, then a naval aviation training base. Beasel is now 62 and retired with the rank of Rear Admiral after a 30-year naval career. Now a resident of Charleston, South Carolina, he told CNN he can still vividly recall the accident. Pilot error. It was entirely my fault, he told CNN. The wreckage was found recently by accident by Joe Kistel, the executive director of the Jacksonville, Florida-based group Think It, Sink It, Reef It, which is in the business of building artificial reefs. Kistel and his dive team found the wreckage while conducting a routine mapping dive. Kistel recovered the airplane's data plate, which led to the positive identification of the aircraft. When Aero News continues, United announces its coming 787 Dreamliner international routes. Happy anniversary, flight attendants, and no more skydiving into the submarine base.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We continue now with Aero News for Friday. It's August 24th. I'm Glenn Moyer. United Airlines has announced the first international routes for the airline's newest addition to its fleet, the Boeing 787 Dreamliner. In addition to previously announced service from its Denver hub to Tokyo Narita, starting March 31st of 2013, the airline will operate nonstop 787 service 5 days a week between its Houston hub and Lagos, Nigeria, beginning January 7th of next year. United will also operate daily nonstop 787 service between its Los Angeles hub and its Narita hub, beginning on January 3rd of 2013, and from Los Angeles to Shanghai, beginning March 30th. United will also operate daily nonstop 787 service from its Houston hub to Amsterdam and London Heathrow on a temporary basis. Houston to Amsterdam service begins December 4th of this year, and Houston to London Heathrow service begins February 4th of 2013. United's Senior Vice President of Network, Greg Hart, said in announcing the routes on Wednesday, quote, "The 787 is the right aircraft for these routes, because of its many passenger-friendly amenities and superior operating economics," end quote. The Association of Flight Attendants, CWA, celebrated the 67th anniversary of the founding of the world's largest flight attendants union on Wednesday. On August 22, 1945, the dedication of five flight attendants, determined to take a stand against unbearable standards where young women were forced to retire at age 32, remain unwed and childless, and adhere to strict weight, height, and appearance requirements, came to fruition with the creation of the Airline Stewardesses Association. In its 67 years since, the union has grown from those five ladies to more than 60,000 women and men at over 20 airlines. In a statement, the union said, "It remains focused on the future and on improving conditions for active and retired flight attendants as it honors its legacy." The St. Mary's, Georgia Airport Authority voted Wednesday night to shut down The Jumping Place, a skydiving operation based at the airport, by revoking its permit to operate. The vote came Wednesday night after two skydivers were blown off course on August 12th and landed on the Kings Bay submarine base in southeast Georgia. Seven skydivers from The Jumping Place have landed on the Navy property over the past 3 years. The Jumping Place owner, Kathy Kliss, argued that her operation meets all FAA guidelines and follows all regulations. She said jumpers are shown aerial photos and videos of the base and are warned not to land there. But, she said, sometimes they are blown off course and they have to land where they feel it is safe. Well, apparently that just wasn't good enough for the base commander. "They cannot land at submarine base Kings Bay," he told the board. Quote, "The issue is not what to do after a skydiver lands. They cannot land at submarine base Kings Bay," end quote. The owner's son said the company plans to appeal the decision to the FAA. He said only the federal agency, not the airport authority, has the standing to shut down their business. Well, no one is quite sure how this happened, but a sleeping woman on an airplane in Paris managed to miss the attention of the cabin crew, and apparently no one was booked in her seat for the plane's return flight to the Pakistani city of Lahore, from which she departed. As a result, Patrice Christine Ahmed wound up back where she began, in Lahore, after a 7,700-mile round trip. And she still wanted to get to Paris. Ahmed apparently slept through the two-hour layover in Paris and then did not report her mistake once she had awakened and found herself going back from where she came. She was eventually placed on another flight back to Paris on another airline. Pakistani Airlines said it did not yet know who would be charged for that flight, but either the contract company that hired the Paris ground crew who did not wake her up, or the woman herself, would be held responsible. They said the passenger does have some responsibility to disembark on time. Well, the real question I'd like to know is, will she get her frequent flyer miles for every segment she flew, whether she was asleep or not? For now, we're wide awake, and there's no layover in sight. So it's a good time for me to remind you that I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.